Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
We seek grace from the Father in prayer. We receive that grace through the Son by trusting, by believing what He said. And then third, we receive grace from the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 10:29, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. He's the one that administers it directly to your heart, who gets it going inside your heart. The way this all happens, the motivation, the ability to pray to the Father, the ability to have faith and trust Jesus, the changes that will be required in your desires and in your affections and your attitudes and your inclinations and all that, the energy you're going to need, all of that comes from the Holy Spirit working this grace in your heart. He's the one that's just on site working. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you are about to die. But if by the Spirit you kill the deeds of the body, you will live. It all happens by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does the direct, hands-on work inside you to just bring this all about. Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Man, this is an amazing promise. That's as straightforward as it can be. How do you defeat the flesh? You walk by the Spirit. You defeat the flesh, just like that. You expose yourself to the influence of the Holy Spirit. How do I expose myself to the influence of the Holy Spirit? One way is through the Scriptures. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. John 15:3, you're clean because of the words I've spoken to you. Ephesians 5:26, he cleanses us by the washing with the word. It all happens through Scripture. The grace to have victory over sin comes through the Word of God. Even Jesus used Scripture to fight temptation. And that whole process is a ministry of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Spirit who moves in our hearts to enable us to understand and believe what the Word of God says. So instead of just being a bunch of words on paper, it actually is transformed into a flow of grace from God into our hearts. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. The Holy Spirit enables you to accept it. You go back to the spiritual armor again. Two of the six items in that list of spiritual armor have to do with Scripture. The belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit means the sword wielded by the Spirit. So one way to expose yourself to the influence of the Holy Spirit is through Scripture. You listen to it preached, you meditate on it, you memorize it, you think through it, you immerse yourself in it, you saturate yourself in it. Whatever you do, don't just read it. Mere reading can do more harm than good. If it's just a daily chore to kind of check off your list of things, you know, you do your exercise, you take your vitamins, you do your reading, and you just kind of plow through your chapter for that day like a magic pill. As if like the mere act of looking at each word in the chapter somehow automatically has some sort of effect on your soul. That's not the case. That's not how it works. Just glancing at a bunch of words and saying them in your mind doesn't do anything. Doing that is like trying to get energy and strength from getting a bunch of food and putting it in your pockets. It doesn't do anything. I mean, there's energy in that food, but you gotta you gotta digest it. Reading the Bible gives you access to the food, but it doesn't actually strengthen you until you digest it. You understand it. You delight in it. You integrate it in with your system of thinking and believing. So just cranking through your chapter for the day is like, you know, just like doing a homework assignment does little or anything when it comes to receiving sin-killing grace from the Holy Spirit. That's why preaching plays such a big role. It enables you, what preaching does is it enables you to keep a passage of Scripture in your mouth long enough for you to chew it up and actually begin to digest the meat so the nutrients start to get into your bloodstream. I mean, even if I don't preach that great of a sermon, at least I'm standing up here for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever, and pointing your attention to Scripture for this amount of time so you can just kind of roll it around in your heart and digest it. And that brings us to the other primary method the Holy Spirit uses to deliver grace to you, and that is the church. You get grace from the Holy Spirit. If you want to expose yourself, you try to say, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? I want to expose myself to the influence of the Holy Spirit. You do that through Scripture. You do that through the church. Listen to the definition of the church in Ephesians 1:23. The church, which is the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. That's the church, the gathering of the saints. You want to be filled up with grace from the Lord, filled up with power and strength and hope and enablement and joy and courage and holiness and wisdom and all the rest, then you go to the place that is called the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And that place is the church, the assembling of God's people together. And the thing that makes the church a fountain of so much grace is not just the preaching. The preaching of God's Word is a huge part of that, but it's all just as huge is the grace that flows to you, gushes to you, through the ministry of people's spiritual gifts in the one another ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Use your spiritual gift. You're administering grace. You're dispensing grace to the rest of us. Use our spiritual gifts to encourage one another, exhort one another, rebuke one another, instruct one another, restore one another after a sin, admonish one another, pray for one another, love one another, all that, all those one another. That opens up floodgates of grace from heaven. That's why it's so important for you to use your gifts in a one another ministry. And if you're not doing that, we are shut off from grace from God that should be flowing to us through you, and it's being blocked off because you're not using your gift. And you're being deprived of grace because you don't receive it. If it doesn't flow through you, you don't get it. And this is, by the way, why we have our prayer groups second hour instead of adult Sunday school. It's just a whole hour of intentional, purposeful, focused one another ministry. You read the New Testament about how much grace flows back and forth in the ministry of the one another commands. It becomes very clear, that very quickly, that if all you do on a Sunday morning is show up here, sit down in the chair, and sit through the worship service, and then leave without immersing yourself in any one another ministry, then you can't really say that you've attended church that day. So much of church is in the exchange of grace with the saints and the gifts. So if you think you're seeking hard after grace from God, but you're only marginally involved with the church, then you're just kidding yourself. The Holy Spirit has chosen to dispense grace from the Father through the gifts. That's why they're called the gifts of the Spirit. Because they are gifts, the Spirit's way of dispensing grace to His people. So you walk by the Spirit, you expose yourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit through Scripture, through the church, and then one more way. Through obedience. When you obey God in one area, that gives you grace to win the battle in another area. Every time you obey Him for the sake of Christ, you receive more grace. And conversely, I think sometimes God allows us to lose a battle in one area because we're not even fighting the battle in another area. And in each area where you fight sin, it's always righteousness, it's always virtue, obedience, that will drive out that sin. You just try and get rid of the sin, but you leave a vacancy in your heart. You just like push the sin away, but you don't shove it away with a opposing virtue. You just try and get rid of the sin, and you leave a vacuum there. It's just going to come right back in with a vengeance. You can't just stop being angry. You have to crowd anger out of your heart by increasing humility and love. And patience. You can't just stop coveting what God has forbidden. You have to crowd covetousness and greed out of your heart with contentment and delight in the Lord. You can't just stop sinful looking. You've got to crowd that out of your heart by righteous looking. That's why in Ephesians 4, where Paul is telling us to strip away the various sins, for each sin he tells us to strip away, he gives us a virtue that will help us crowd that sin out of our lives. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, put on your new self. Crowd that old self out by the new self. There's not room for both. That's the point, again, in Galatians 5. There's not room for both. You get the fruit of the Spirit, you get the fruit of the flesh. You cannot have room for both. More of this you have, the less of this you have. You crowd out lying with truthfulness. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully. You crowd out stealing. Verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work that he may have something to share. You crowd out stealing with work and with generosity and giving. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful in building others up according to their needs. You crowd out unwholesome talk with speech that builds up. Now you crowd out anger in verse 31. Get rid of anger, rage, and bitterness. Verse 32, what virtue do you crowd out with? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So, how do you walk by the Spirit? How do you gain access to grace through the Spirit, Scripture, the church, obedience? And I just real quickly, I want to show you Ephesians 5. Maybe you can turn over there to Ephesians 5. I'm sorry, Galatians 5. I just mentioned that in passing, but it went by so fast, I think it's worth taking a little bit more notice of. Because this is the text where he says, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Look at verse 16, Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Now, he's going to give the fruit of the Spirit in a second, but first he's going to give the fruit of the flesh. Here's the fruit of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So what are you saying there? You keep in step with the Spirit, and it'll drive the works of the flesh out. It'll crowd them out. If you can remember the overall big picture, the three main points, for the rest of our life as a church, as we study things in Scripture about how to defeat sin, you'll be able to see where each one of those things, those principles, fit into these three. But you have to understand these three, because if you don't understand these three, the overall picture of how we fight sin, then the danger is going to be this. As we learn one specific principle in some passage of Scripture about how to fight sin, and we zero in on that, and we try and do that, and we're missing some other portion of what the overall picture, then we're going to tend not to have success. For example, if we try and prefer Christ over sin, but we're not understanding how to get grace, to have the power to do that, then we're going to try it and we're going to fail because we're not going to have the grace. On the other hand, if we focus, so some passage says if you just get grace, then you win the battle. We think, okay, I'll seek after grace. You're seeking after grace and seeking after grace. You're doing all those things that I said, the Father and the Son and the Spirit, but you don't understand the principle about preferring, then it's not going to work either. So that's why I came up with this acronym, GAP, G-A-P. G is get grace. A is, stands for alert. Attack the sin when it first appears, when it's nothing more than the tipping of the soul towards a desire before it becomes a lust. And P, prefer. Fight desire with greater desire. Don't just resist the world's delicacies, but prefer God's river of delights. I have a few questions this time. First, could it be that you are losing battles in one area of your Christian life because you're neglecting another area? There's always some things that come naturally to us and other things that are hard. And those areas that are easy for you, you tend to do really well in those, and the things that are hard, they kind of get pushed to the background. So ask yourself, the hard things, are they being neglected to the point where it's potentially causing problems in other areas of your walk with the Lord? Number two, when you think of the most troublesome sin in your life, what is the virtue you need to pursue to crowd that sin out of your life? Instead of just focusing on the sin, saying, I got to stop that, I got to not do that as much. Instead of that, think, what is the virtue? I need to be something different. What attribute of God, what character quality,
what trait of godliness, fruit of the Spirit, do I need that if I had it, it would push this sin out of my life? And then number three, this podcast covered several ways that you can get grace from God through Scripture or prayer or the church or carrying out ministry with your spiritual gift or obedience. Which of those needs most attention in your life right now? Scripture, prayer, fellowship, ministry, obedience. Which one needs the most attention right now, and what's the next step of progress for you in that area? Be very specific.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.